Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
This time, you've sent us right into the heart of Aristotle's Metaphysics, Book 9, to be exact.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is. We're taking a look at some of the excerpts you flagged on actuality and potentiality.
Heavy stuff.
No kidding. This stuff really makes you think. I mean, it gets under your skin in the best way possible. We're going to try to break it down together and see why these ideas are still so powerful centuries later.
It's amazing, isn't it? These concepts, actuality and potentiality, they're like the foundation of Aristotle's entire philosophy.
Right.
And yet, they still have this incredible power to, you know, make us question how we see the world and our place in it.
Absolutely. So let's just start with Aristotle's definitions. Actuality, he says, it's the realized state of something. It's what a thing is right now, fully formed, present. Potentiality, on the other hand, that's its capacity to be or become something else.
The seed of possibility.
Exactly, the seed of possibility within a thing.
And what's fascinating is that Aristotle doesn't limit this to just physical objects.
Right.
He applies it to knowledge, to skills, even to our character, you know?
Yeah.
We all have the potential to become something more than we are right now.
So like someone who's, I don't know, a total couch potato right now, glued to the latest streaming series, they still have the potential to be a marathon runner.
Exactly. They have that inherent capacity, that potentiality to become a runner. Of course, you know, there's a whole process of actualizing that potential. Training, pushing limits, all that.
Right. And this is where things start to get a little bit complicated. Aristotle brings up the example of a seed, right? He's like, look, a seed has the potential to become a tree, but it can't just magically transform into this, like, giant oak overnight. So there are stages to this whole actualization thing, right?
Absolutely. There are limits to what a thing can potentially become, and there's a process of development involved. That seed needs the right conditions, sunlight, water, to actually grow into a tree.
So you're saying there's like a growth formula for us too. Like we need the right ingredients to actualize our potential.
That's a fantastic way to put it. Yeah. Aristotle would say we need certain motive principles to actualize our potential. For seed, it's those external factors, right? Like the sunlight and water. But for humans, it's a bit more complex. It involves our desires, our choices, our willingness to put in the effort, you know?
Okay, so we've got this back and forth between actuality and potentiality. But which one comes first? Which one is more fundamental?
That's the big question. And Aristotle's answer is pretty clear. He believes actuality has a certain priority.
So you're telling me that what is right now is more important than all the possibilities of what could be?
Not necessarily more important, but more fundamental. Aristotle argues that the actualized thing, the thing that exists in its full form, is more substantial, more fully realized.
So like a fully grown tree is somehow more real than the seed it came from?
In a way, yes. It's more fully actualized. Think about it. The tree is out there providing shade, bearing fruit. It's interacting with the world in a much more tangible way than the seed just tucked away in the soil.
Okay, so I'm starting to see his point, but he doesn't stop there, right? He has other reasons for prioritizing actuality.
Right. He also argues that something already actual must be involved in bringing about the actualization of potential.
So are you saying we need someone or something that's already achieved a certain level to help us reach our own potential, like a mentor or a teacher?
Precisely. The teacher, who's already mastered a skill, guides the student towards actualizing their own potential. Aristotle uses the example of a sculptor. The sculptor, who's already skilled in the art, shapes the raw material, the potential of the stone, into a beautiful statue.
And without that skilled sculptor,
that stone would just remain a block of potential, forever unrealized. And you know, it's not just about having a teacher or mentor. It's about the choices we make, too. Aristotle argues that rational potentialities, the kind we humans have, they can produce opposite effects.
Okay.
We have the capacity for both good and bad, for creation and destruction.
So our choices really do matter. It's not just about following some predetermined path.
Exactly. Aristotle gives the example of the medical art. You know, the same knowledge, the same skill can be used to heal or to harm.
Oh, wow.
It's the intention, the choice behind the action, that determines the outcome.
That's a powerful thought. So we're not just puppets of fate. We have a say in which potentialities become actualities.
Precisely. Our desires, our will, our choices, these all play a role in shaping who we become.
So it's like we're co-authors of our own stories, constantly making choices that nudge us closer to one potentiality or another.
I like that. That's a great way to put it.
Okay, so our choices matter. But what about things we discover, like scientific discoveries or mathematical theorems? Does Aristotle think those are also about actualizing potential?
That's a fantastic question. It leads us to one of Aristotle's most intriguing analogies.
Okay.
He compares the process of intellectual discovery to the actualization of a potential construction.
Okay, I'm going to need you to unpack that one for
me. Okay, sure. Imagine a geometric truth.
Okay.
Like the Pythagorean theorem. That truth exists, potentially, even before anyone has ever thought of it.
Right.
It's like a blueprint just waiting to be discovered.
So it's out there in the realm of mathematical possibility?
Yes.
But it's not yet known.
Right. And then a mathematician comes along, starts exploring, drawing diagrams, and suddenly, bam, they bring that potential truth into actuality.
Wow.
It becomes known. It enters the world of human understanding.
So the act of thinking, of discovering, is itself a kind of actualization.
Exactly. It's like we're bringing something from the realm of potential into the realm of the actual.
Right.
And this has some pretty interesting implications for how Aristotle thinks about truth itself.
Okay, so let's talk about truth. Because if actuality is somehow more fundamental, does that mean that what's actual is automatically true?
Well, it's not quite that simple. Aristotle says that truth involves correctly grasping how things are combined or separated in reality.
Okay.
So if I say, this apple is red, and the apple is in fact red, then my statement is true.
Right.
I've accurately grasped the combination of the apple and its redness.
So it's about making statements that align with reality.
Exactly. And error arises when our statements don't match up with how things actually are.
But what about things that are always true, regardless of what we think or say? Like mathematical truths, for example.
Yeah.
Are those somehow more actual because they're unchanging?
That's a really astute observation. Aristotle does say that when it comes to unchangeable things like mathematical truths, their truth or falsity is eternal.
Right.
They're not subject to change or opinion.
So in a sense, those truths are always fully actualized.
Yeah.
They're not waiting for us to discover them to become true.
You could say that. They exist in a realm of pure actuality, independent of our minds or our perceptions.
Okay, so we've covered actuality, potentiality, truth. Anything else Aristotle throws into this mix?
Well, there's one more connection he makes that I find particularly fascinating.
Okay.
He links the concept of actuality to the idea of goodness.
Whoa, hold on. Actuality and goodness.
Mm-hmm.
How do those two connect?
Aristotle argues that something that's potentially good is also potentially bad.
Uh-huh.
A powerful tool, for instance, has the potential to be used for good or for evil. It all depends on how it's actualized.
So a hammer can build a house or it can, you know, break a skull.
Exactly.
It's the use that determines whether it's good or bad.
Precisely. And because of this, Aristotle sees the actuality of goodness as superior to just the mere potentiality for goodness.
Okay.
The actual good excludes its opposite. It's fully realized, free from any potential for badness.
So a truly good act is one that's not just potentially good, but fully and completely good.
Right. And he connects this back to those eternal, unchanging things we talked about earlier. He says they're inherently good precisely because they're eternal and unchanging.
Oh.
They're not subject to the same fluctuations and possibilities of corruption that we see in the material world.
This is making my head spin a little bit in a good way.
Yeah.
So the more actualized something is, the closer it is to pure goodness.
That's a really interesting way to think about it. And it brings us back to the question of our own lives. If actuality is somehow better than potentiality, what does that mean for how we live, for the choices we make?
That is the question, isn't it? It's almost like Aristotle is giving us a challenge.
Yeah.
A challenge to actualize our highest potentialities.
I think you're right. He's urging us to be intentional, to strive towards actualizing those potentialities that align with our rational nature, to cultivate our intellect, to pursue knowledge, to become more virtuous human beings.
Yeah.
It's like he's saying, like, don't just dream about what you could be. Get out there and make it happen. But how do we even know which potentialities are the highest ones? You know, the ones worth pursuing.
That's a great question. It's where things get really interesting. Aristotle believed that, you know, humans have this unique capacity for reason.
Right.
And that living a fulfilling life, it involves developing that capacity to its fullest. For him, that means pursuing knowledge, contemplating those big questions, you know?
Yeah.
Striving to live virtuously.
So basically trade in all those mindless hours of scrolling through social media for some, like, Quality time with Aristotle himself.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say you have to give up all your fun,
Right.
but Aristotle would definitely encourage us to be more like deliberate about how we spend our time and energy, what activities bring out the best in you, what makes you feel like you're actually growing as a person. Those are the potentialities worth pursuing.
It's almost like he's giving us a framework for like self-improvement, you know? Figure out what you're capable of, what your best self looks like, and then just go after it.
I think that's a great way to put it. Aristotle saw this whole process of, actualizing our potential as an ongoing journey, not a destination.
Right.
We're constantly striving to become more fully realized versions of ourselves.
What if we stumble along the way, make mistakes? Does
Yeah.
that mean we've failed in our quest for
Well,
actualization?
not at all. Aristotle recognized that setbacks and failures, they're just part of life.
Right.
In fact, he saw them as opportunities. Opportunities for learning and growth. It's how we respond to those challenges that really matters.
Right.
Do we give up or do we use them as fuel to keep striving towards our goals?
So it's not about being perfect. It's about constantly pushing ourselves to be better, to keep moving towards that best self, even if we never fully get there.
Exactly. It's about the journey, the process of growth and development. And that process, according to Aristotle, that's ultimately what gives meaning and purpose to our lives.
I don't know about you, but I'm suddenly feeling this urge to like dust off my copy of the Nicomachean Ethics and start putting some of this into practice. This deep dive into Aristotle has been a real eye-opener.
It really is amazing how these ancient ideas can still feel so relevant to our lives today.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beauty of philosophy, isn't it? It invites us to think deeply about ourselves and the world around us, and to strive for a life that's both meaningful and fulfilling.
So, to wrap things up, actuality isn't just about what is, it's about what can be, you know?
Yeah.
About this incredible potential within each of us. And maybe, just maybe, by understanding Aristotle's ideas, we can get a little closer to actualizing our own best selves.
I think Aristotle would agree with that.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive.
Ah.
But I really hope this has sparked your curiosity and inspired you to keep exploring Aristotle's works.
Me too.
There's a whole universe of wisdom waiting to be discovered.
And who knows, maybe in the process, you'll discover something amazing about yourself.
Until next time, keep diving deep.